The Milk Bar, sponsored by www.wolvesmobile.co.uk. Saving you money on your mobile, making cash for your club.
Welcome to the Milk Bar. 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 Welcome to the Milk Bar.
Welcome along to episode 73 of the Milk Bar. Jason and Zoe with you once more. Hello.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm fine.
Busy week for you?
As always, you know it all.
No, it's not interesting.
Jason.
No, I've not lost interest. Anyway, I can point out the fact you're wearing matching clothes today, which is quite a change.
I'm all in beige.
And I'm not, because I have a blue tie with a black shirt, which is peculiar.
A bit funny. Yeah. I'm glad you've started picking faults with yourself,
yeah,
Jason.
But at least I'm not into your level of crass fashion, lack of sense. But there we go. Right, coming up on the podcast today, I'm going to introduce the band first.
Okay,
it's these three microphones here, as we say hello to three-fifths of Eyes of the Raven, we have Dave.
Good evening.
There we go. Ross.
Hello.
And James.
How do?
You said, I'm glad the other two had worked out what was going on after we caught Dave out there, so that's good. We'll be hearing some music from them in a bit, and it's a bit of... Is it quite thrash metal or just reasonably heavy? What density of metal are we talking here?
There's a bit of a groove to it.
A bit of a groove. Metal with a groove. Okay. We'll have a little natter with the lads in a bit. Zoe, who do you bring to the table today?
Oh, I've got... double figures this week, which is good. I have Colin Thompson. He's going to be going through the Athletics Development Programme at Aldersley Stadium, which is all throughout the whole year.
Yes.
So no excuse not to keep fit.
And well, the reason I like food too much and don't enjoy exercise, but there we are.
And as well as that, he hasn't been on for a while. We have had him on before, and I do remember you saying he was one of your favourites.
Okay.
I have Lee John from Imagination.
Oh, top quality. We'll have a chat with Lee John. Look, we're very, very music orientated today, apart from the bit of that Athletics thrown in for good measure, because we have urban artist Shim Wan, who joins us on the phone as well now. Hello, sir.
How you doing, sir?
I'm good. How's the world with you?
Wow, it's quite hectic actually, and there's been a change of fortune for me recently, because I kind of really took my foot off the gas for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So recently I've been doing this music thing for quite a while, and I've had a record deal before and done big tours and, you know, performed to 30,000 people. And a couple of years ago, I really slowed down and really questioned whether it was something I wanted to kind of continue doing.
Yeah.
A friend of mine who's, you know, really aware of my talents kind of really goaded me and pushed me to kind of enter this competition.
Mm-hmm.
And if any true musician or any real artist will tell you that entering competitions is not always the first port of call. It's not something that you really want to do.
But isn't, but Open Mic UK 2010, which takes place with the finals at the O2 later on this year, is the sort of thing which has got the right kind of backing and the right kind of people involved in it to make it worthwhile, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's a credible competition. Mm-hmm. The prize is about £50,000, the record deal, the management contract. So, you know, it's there definitely for the taking, and, you know, win, lose or draw, it's definitely something that you can kind of use as a platform then to go on to bigger and better things as well.
Well, give us a bit of detail on the history, first of all, so anybody who hasn't picked up on your work in the past can get where you've come from.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, you know, I should mention my website, which is www.shimwan.com. This is S-H-I-N-N and then the numerical one.com. I went to university in Hull to study law. And whilst I was there, I decided that being a solicitor wasn't what I wanted to do, and it was music that was my real passion. So I set up my own record company. I released a couple of white labels myself, had music and content on MTV Base. As a result of that, I got noticed by a record label in London. They picked me up, and we recorded an album in my own studio, but they obviously part-financed it.
Mm-hmm.
But that deal kind of didn't necessarily take off the way I wanted it to, so I went back to being independent, and then, you know, released a few more singles, did a lot of tours, and some of my music videos have had the likes of Charlene Spiterian from Texas,
yeah,
Craig David, Mark Lewis Francis, who's a gold medalist, Olympic gold medalist. So, you know, I've been around the block, you know, on a couple of occasions.
You've
before,
done your bit, but
I've done my bit, basically.
But
yeah.
What is it that really excited you about this then, that got you involved? And so you're taking a break. Family always comes first in these sort of situations,
yeah,
doesn't it? So sometimes you take a step back, and after you've made enough cash to not quite retire, but to make yourself comfortable. So what drew you into it to get you back into work?
I think with anything, if you've got a passion and a talent, it's very, very hard to ignore it for life. And this competition kind of had the necessary ingredients, which was you can, you know, perform your own material. You know, it's not overly blown like an X Factor where you're kind of 100% controlled by.
Oh, I was going to ask, what about X Factor? Have you not thought of popping onto there?
No, no, not that X Factor's on a great platform, because for the winner, for example, Leona Lewis, it's, you know, if it wasn't for that, maybe she wouldn't be where she is now. However, for me, as a more organic artist wanting to have more control over what I'm doing, I think this type of competition, which isn't as overly blown, is probably a better starting point.
This is more about what you can do as you go along rather than learning from scratch.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think with the live performances with this show, you have to be able to bring a lot to the table. Mm-hmm. With something like X Factor, because there's a massive production, in all honesty, as long as you can hold a good note, everything else that's going on around you will kind of carry you. Whereas with this, you need to be able to impress the crowd and impress the judges from the minute you walk on the stage if you really, really want to see you through to the final.
Now, you've already passed the quarterfinal stage, haven't you? And you're into the semis next on the 20th of November.
That's right.
And so what have you actually performed so far to get their attention and get you through this far?
Okay, well, the audition was just a straightforward open audition. The quarterfinal, which was back in September, I came out onto the stage performing one of my original tracks, an older track that was on an album called The Silencer LP, called Dressed to Impress. And what they like to see as well is kind of an adaptation of an original track, something that's famous. So then I kind of flipped into Bonkers by Dizzy Rascal, which absolutely sent the crowd absolutely bananas. And then from that I went into another original song called You Get Me, but I'd actually, you know, thought outside the box a little bit, and I mixed it up with a Fede LeGrand song, which is called Put Your Hands Up for Detroit.
I know the one.
So I think the judges kind of really, really enjoyed the craftsmanship that went into the performance, and not just usually doing your straightforward 1 minute of an original and then 2 minutes of a cover. We kind of mashed the whole thing up together in a seamless performance, which they absolutely loved. And I think that's what kind of gave me the four green lights, I suppose, to go on to the next round.
Anytime anyone says mashup, it just reminds me of Glee for some reason, but it wasn't quite like that, was it?
No, not quite like that, no.
Is there a larger chance of you being heckled? Because it sounds to me like the crowd can be quite harsh in these sort of competitions.
I think
so if he wasn't any good, then they'd have certainly let
he
you
is
know.
He's good, though.
Thought,
he's told us no, that
I know,
already. He's
I know,
good.
But I'm just saying, because I'd be quite worried in as an artist in that respect. You've got to be quite confident in yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to come out there with confidence. But in all fairness, and I'll be completely honest now, when I did perform about two spaces before my time to come on stage, I'm obviously behind the curtain in preparation. And one artist went out there, and you know, forgive me for saying this, but he was absolutely diabolical. I think he lost all his confidence and just didn't know what to do. And in all fairness to the crowd, they actually tried to G him up and actually get him to continue with the performance, because he actually stopped halfway through because he just wasn't, he'd lost his confidence. Mm-hmm. And the crowd didn't boo him. They were kind of applauding him and cheering him and trying to get him to carry on. So I think in this country especially, we always try and see the best in people.
So it's not always the road traffic accident that is the outtakes from X Factor then? So that's
No. I don't think so, no.
Well, good luck with the semi-finals. I think, you know, you've got the talent to carry you through, but
you.
It should be rather good. If you do get to the final and win, you've already said that you'd be interested in donating some of the prize winnings to charity as well, haven't you?
Well, you know, I've been speaking to various individuals, including yourself, Jason, you know, across Wolverhampton Football Club, and obviously Wolves Aid as well. And one of the things that I've already said that I'm definitely going to do is with some of the proceeds, I'm actually going to make a donation to Wolves Aid. Wolverhampton is where I was born. It's where this has been my stomping ground for many, many years. So this is my way of putting something back in. So Wolves Aid will be the charity that I'll be donating some of the winnings to.
Excellent. If people do want to find out more about your work, they can do, as you mentioned earlier, shimone.com is the website. And they can also vote to take to have it credited towards your final score in the end of the competition, can't they?
Absolutely. I mean, from the regional final, the video is actually on my website. The performance is actually on my website right now. So if you actually go onto shimone.com and then go onto the TV lounge, you'll see that performance now, just for a taster. I'll be updating the website you know, providing that I get through the next round, I'll have a text number which people can actually start texting straight away, which will actually be carried forward to votes for the final. So they'll actually count towards, you know, legitimate votes for the final, for the winner in the final.
And then that takes place at the O2. So which part of the O2 will that be in? Is it the Indigo rooms?
I believe so. That information I haven't got to hand right now.
And you do need to come back and speak to us as well if you win.
He's going to come back and perform for us. We'll get him in soon. So
yeah, absolutely. That's not a problem. I'd love to.
We'll sort that one out. Shimon, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Good
to speak
to you.
Ciao
for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, don't forget to check his website, and you can make sure you can vote after the 20th. And I'm sure he will make his way through to that final.
I'm going to have a look, Jason, later.
Check him out.
Yes.
Right, let's take our first track from the guys who are in the studio. Say hello again.
Hello.
Almost
good
on
evening.
Cue. We got that. Yeah, brilliant.
Good
who was the last one?
Good evening.
It's Dave again. Dave.
Where are you from?
So, we'll hear some music from you first. We'll have an after in a moment this time. But you are Eyes of the Raven, and the first track we're going to hear is called World Breaker. There we go. Eyes of the Raven. Oh, a bit of drums on the end. We're actually missing the drummer today, aren't we? So let's run down the band. Who we got? We've got Dave, who's on vocals. We mentioned you. Hello, Dave.
Yeah, I'm here on time now.
Not in delay this time, which is good. Rhythm guitar from Ross.
Yes, that's me.
And we actually give him a headset, which is why he sounds different to everybody else. So he's strapped to his microphone.
Still sound posh.
He's, what? No.
Are you sure?
Definitely you don't. Then also we have James with us, lead guitar.
Hello again.
There we go. And then we're missing bass and drums. So who's not here?
Damon. He's gone to see Cybermen on Ice in Birmingham. He didn't realise the dates clashed. So he's our resident band geek.
Okay. And are you drummer?
No, Damon is the drummer. Matt's the bassist. He's probably had an exhausting weekend with his new girlfriend.
Ooh.
Some gossip to be
very
had.
Rock and roll.
And photos on the website.
He's going to hate me for saying that, but you know.
Do they go anywhere nice, or is it just?
Or do they not see light of
we,
day?
We haven't pried that far. We left them to it.
I'm sure there'll be taunting text at some point. But there we go. So give us a bit of idea of the band and where you came from and how it all happened. Because you've got proper local accents, haven't you? Which is good for starters. Yeah.
I think originally, I mean, me and Dave have known each other for bloody long time,
but.
20 years?
25 years,
something like that.
We grew up together.
We were in bands years ago together, but we went our separate ways. Myself and Matt met up at an old friend's gig a few years ago now. And we decided to get something together, start a new band up. We asked Dave along to do vocals and Damon on drums, and we contacted James. Matt actually contacted you through, what was it,
Bandmix or something like that? Bandmix.com.
And then we had a few other guitarists audition for us, but that didn't work out. I'm not going to go down that route of slating anybody, but they didn't work out. James did straight away as soon as he came in.
It's about gelling as well with the band, isn't it, as much as anything else? They could be the most talented guitarist ever. But if they don't get on with you well enough, you'd rather have someone who hits a few duff notes like James. And
he's got you before.
Yeah, yeah. You got a soul, and James has got a lot of soul, and he's, you know, without bigging him up too much, I want him to be able to get out.
Out the door should be a good start.
Well, he's wearing a beanie hat, so it might, you know, we may lose
it's
that.
To keep, it's to keep it all in.
How long has it all been going then together? There, what was the start?
To be fair,
like?
Things have moved pretty quickly. I mean, we've only been together as a band for. But just under 12 months?
Just under 12
months.
In November, I think.
I mean, we're just a four-piece, like Ross said, to start with. Then obviously we knew that the songs we wanted to do, we couldn't possibly carry off with one guitar, especially live. So that's when we put the advert out. And I mean, I know Ross wasn't going to go down that avenue, but I will as far as the other guitarists go. There were really good guitarists. It was just the fact that one of them was really, really off-putting and he was grinding his guitar whilst he was playing. And that's what that was it.
Maybe too much
it was song. Like, dude, it's not a pole, put it down.
So, of course, James come in and he gelled straight away. I mean, to be fair to him, he turned up at his first practice and he'd already learnt three of the songs. So that showed a hell of a lot of commitment.
Either that or they're very easy songs.
Well, they were the only three. I think they were the only three we had, to be honest. Yeah, we couldn't learn anymore.
But now, I mean, we've progressed quite well over the time. Fleshed out the songs that we did have, writ a hell of a lot of new ones. And I think it's just due to the fact that James sort of never realised there was levels that people are supposed to go through, like playing your little clubs, your little youth club, then your pub, then your clubs and that. So now he just sent an email straight off to the Auto Academy. Can we have a support? And he's sort of gone from there. It's worked out really well. We've done some really good gigs.
Yeah, it's been very fortunate, really. It's good.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of bands who, when they're touring, want someone local and fresh to bring their fan base with them to see maybe a slightly different band as well. And listening to your music, I actually think you've got a fairly good following. So you're going to be popular with other bands who are touring at the bigger venues.
Well, it's sort of like, I think our sound's a bit of a twin-edged sword because, like as Ross said, we were in bands years ago. But the trouble is, in the bands we were in years ago, it was more along we were trying to be the next big thing and emulate what was big at the time, instead of playing music that we wanted to play for ourselves. Now, we're all a bit older. Well, I'm considerably older.
Well, we'll get on to that in a minute, because everyone to know how old you are when I told you, she told you you were coming in. So.
Well, he normally brings young lads in for me.
Oh, thanks. And she normally touches them. Well, James, how old are you, mate?
30.
That's younger than you.
It is younger than me, yes, but it's older than the chaps you normally bring
in. Ross, how old are you?
32.
Yeah, and then Dave?
No comment.
Is he 52?
So at least. Anyway.
You do realise I can't swear at the moment, but when we get outside those doors, you're getting
it. It must be interesting to find yourself at this point in your life, though. Once you hit 30, you're supposed to be grown up and given up on the band idea, aren't you?
Not necessarily. I just think it depends if... On your viewpoint, I suppose. I mean, us, we've always liked to do stuff, whether it gets big or not. It's like going back to what I was just saying. We're doing this for ourselves now. If something comes of it, then great. You know, that's always a bonus. But that's what I mean about it being a double-edged sword. Like, a lot of people want the next big thing. I mean, you see that many metalcore bands out there now, or bands with like the Scene Kids in with the high tops and the jeans around the bottoms of the rear ends. And yeah, there's probably 5 or 6 good ones, but every 5 or 6 good ones, there's like 20 really bad ones. Mm-hmm. You know, so we thought, well, now we'll do what we want to do. Some fans don't like it for the fact that we've got so many different influences that seem to work together, but the people that do like us actually like us for what we do, not because we're part of a scene.
Well, we'll work around some of the influences. Our next tune we're going to hear from you is Live Your Lies.
Yep.
I've already had Ross say this is one of the best songs, and Dave said you missed a few notes in this one.
This was our first proper recording as a band, and like I say, less than 12 months in and we're doing an EP. It was a bit... to lose my inhibitions, I need to be a little bit tanked up, and I hadn't had a drink that day because I was suffering from a cold.
You sound like you've got a problem here. It's not just to courage you're after, but there's more than that, possibly.
Well,
we'll have to watch his face.
Speechless ones.
I was hoping that there were some beers here, to be honest.
Jason.
You're driving.
Yeah, you just behave. Well, we'll take a listen to the tune. And, what is it about then? What's the theme for this one?
It's about addiction.
So it is your alcohol problem.
Yeah.
No, actually, hey, I'm probably the most flawed out of the band, to be fair. I mean, through the years, it's been what? Gambling. Not so much beer, thankfully. But I've also had my internet gaming addiction, which thankfully I have broken free of now.
It can be a problem. We'll take a listen to the tune and see whether we need to call the Samaritans at the end of it.
Thank you.
Live Your Lies, and a heartbeat drum beat at the end, which I quite enjoyed. That was good. That was. Yeah, Dave, back up near a microphone. Come on, you can come. You can still talk to us. So, which notes did you miss then? Because I didn't write them all down.
I think I heard a few.
Did you?
Yeah.
I told
you.
No,
I didn't. Back into recorder. Oh dear. Well, there we go. Right, we'll hear some more from you in a bit, and have another natter with you in a moment or two's time. But first of all, Zoe,
we have Colin Thompson, and he's going to be going through the athletics development program that's throughout the whole year. So you've got no excuses not to get fit, Jason.
Eating less and exercising more would be a good start, I suppose. So, Colin, this all takes place down at the Alderson Leisure Village, doesn't it?
That's right. Yeah, it all takes place on a Tuesday and a Thursday in the May.
As you say, you've just finished, haven't you? 7:30.
I'm just outside the building now.
So tell us a bit about what you get up to down there and how this works for people who are coming along. So what age groups are you catering for?
We start people off as early as 6, and where we have a group of under 9s from 5:30 to 6:30 on a Tuesday evening only. And then from 6:30 onwards, it's open to any age group, and I mean any age at all. Obviously, there's a track and field element to it. There's a road running element to it. The road runners get themselves off in the local streets, and it's become pretty dark now, so they have to get themselves all lit up. But it's quite a big group, a very, very vast difference in ability.
Now, I'm
talking to anyone.
I'm 38, I'm about 4 stone overweight, and
yeah.
I am considering getting back into going to the gym. But if I was to be a little more track and athletics minded, what would you do to start me off?
Well, we would get you down here and we'd have a programme for you. And what we have a beginner's group. And on that beginner's group, we generally start people off walking around the track first, tell them what we expect, and then we gradually build them up over a 10-week period.
I think I could cope with walking around the track.
See, now Zoe's actually like a stick and doesn't eat enough and therefore gets ill rather regularly. And she seems to wander around in things that look like slippers and pyjamas most of the time. So how would you, do you get sort of people of that cross-section, they all sort of fit together and get on with going for a bit of a road run?
We do, yeah. It's really surprising the people that you get. We get all shapes and sizes, all different levels of fitness. You know, we get the people who are super fit and they were born to run, and we get the people who just want to get fit and just feel a bit better about themselves. Mm. And athletics really opens itself to anybody, really.
I suppose, did you get a bit of a Christmas rush, though? You know, the post-Christmas, it's the 1st of January. Most people go off and join a gym, but the ones who don't really fancy forking out the cash at a set amount each month, they might come along and try something like this?
Well, it is a good thing. Because it's not an expensive sport, you know. You don't have to purchase anything other than the shoes you're running, you know. That's about the only expenditure. Mm. The club fees are not particularly dear. And once you've paid your membership, that's it.
And no Lycra, though. Lycra's not compulsory, because that put a lot of people off, wouldn't it?
No, it's your own choice, your clothes are.
So I think with the trainers, you do need to get the correct pair, because I've been road running, not recently, but I'd have. And because I got the wrong pair of trainers...
Can you just go beep beep for me as well, then, please?
I was waiting for somebody to say that. But no, I bought the wrong sort of trainers, and it really puts pressure on your knees.
I think you've got the wrong kind of legs as well, though.
Do you think so?
Possibly looking
at
them
from
here.
Well, my husband does say my knees look like footballers' knees, so I don't get them out very often.
Footwear is important. It's really important.
But it's not about the amount you spent, though, is it? It's about getting the right type.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend £70-odd on a pair of trainers, you know. £25, £35 is ample. But what you do need to do is ensure that you don't do too many miles on them before you change them again, which is what people do.
So that's what they lose, the shock absorption pairs, which can, of course, damage your knees then, can't it?
And more important, they're generally into their calves, and they think they've hurt their calves by some other method, but it's really because your shoes have worn out.
Well, that's surprising. I didn't realise that bit. So next time on the cross trainer caused myself injuries, it was because my trainers are 6 months old and I should have done something about it.
Yes, I found out by doing it.
Makes mental note to self not to do it again. So tell us how people can get in touch then if they want to join the club.
Well, Aldersey Stadium is the best contact place, you know. They'll always have my details at hand. Mm-hmm. So they're always the best people.
And just Google them, pick up the details from the website and give them a shout and they can put you in touch. The man you're looking for is Colin Thompson. He can sort you out with his clubs on Tuesday nights. And simple as that, they can come along. Do they get to try before they sign up for full membership if they want to have a bit of a sample up?
Yeah, they get 3 sessions and then we give them a further 8 weeks to see if they like it. Certainly with the young children, we don't encourage parents to pay a great membership fee, because the children pack things in quite easily. So,
yeah, they do.
Yeah, we don't encourage that.
But some of them will just take to it.
Sorry?
Some of them will just take to it and want to be part of the club, though.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, we very much give them a good time span to find out whether they're going to do it before they waste their money.
Excellent. We wouldn't want that, because then we could well be there wanting to take up squash or badminton. And I can only expect cope with badminton. Squash is a bit fast and there were too many walls to run into. So, but there's a lot of different sports out there for them, so they can come along, consider this one, give it a try and see whether it works for them.
Yep, great. There's even race walking, so there's everything.
We'll get you down there, Jason, then, shall we, next week? Sign you up?
Just because I had you doing
cage fighting, wasn't it? I was doing a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
I did rather well.
Strange enough, you wore trousers then, so we couldn't see your knees on that occasion either. But there we go. So we were trying to get her to go for the proper cage fighting outfit of just a pair of shorts, but she was having none of it.
No. I thought people might be a bit shocked.
Particularly if we put it on YouTube, it would probably have been banned, but there we go. Colin, thanks for joining us. Once again, if you do want to get in touch, it's Google Aldersey Stadium, get little details from there, and they will put you in touch directly, won't they?
Okay, yeah, that's lovely.
Lovely to
talk
to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Now.
Bye.
Now, we're going to go back to the band once more. So, Dave, wake up.
Oh, I'm here.
Because you're officially
front
man.
He was ready for it then. He was up by the mic, yeah.
I was even looking the other way, but... So we've heard a couple of tunes from you so far. What we're going to hear next?
I think it's from the Ashes next.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about this one. Oh. Is this the recovery after the gambling addiction and trying to pick up the bits of credit card that were left over?
Actually, no. Despite the fact I look like a jolly fat man, none of the songs are quite jolly. No, this one's about domestic violence.
Okay. Oh. Hopefully not something you've suffered yourself.
Well, not so much me, but family members.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much the same old thing. You get the excuses. Oh, it's never going to happen again, and all this, that, and the other. And in the end, you've just got to walk away, because otherwise nothing's going to change.
Well, I know there are a lot of lives lost, both men and women, to domestic violence throughout the UK. And it's a campaign that I've been involved with helping to promote in the past. And it's making sure that it does stop and you are able to get away. But not made to feel that it's your fault, I suppose.
That's one of the main problems. There's still a stigma attached to it over the fact that people don't come forward quickly enough, because they think, well, people are going to think less of me, or they're just going to think I'm after attention, and that's never the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a listen to the song, and as we said earlier, you can actually hear the words, so sit back and listen once more to The Eyes of the Raven.
You won't learn. I see.
From the Ashes, Eyes of the Raven there once more. Dave, you gave us a bit of a heads up on the song itself. We've the last one we'll take in about 5-10 minutes' time. More cheerful with My Life?
Not really, no.
Okay, yeah. We'll there take a listen to that. No, okay, well, we'll be braced ready for that one. Okay, but before then, Zoe, back to the phone lines we go.
It is Lee John, ex-Imagination, but still in the pop business.
Certainly is, and a top quality talent. Hello once again, sir.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you?
Well, as they say, been around the world, it's been quite non-stop for me in the last couple of days. I'm actually preparing for an Imagination 30th anniversary for next year, and mm-hmm. the build-up is quite exciting, but I've just come back, well, I was in Paris today, believe it or not. You rang me, and I'd literally come off the Eurostar.
Oh.
Because I was doing some things that they were preparing to do a European tour, and I was just back last week. I was in Zambia because I'm an ambassador for SOS Children, which is a children's orphan, a worldwide orphan charity organization. And my band and I, we went over to Zambia via Kenya and Zimbabwe, and we did some shows, raised some money for the kids. And you know, we did a documentary at the same time. So it's been pretty busy.
Are you glad to be back now? Glad to be home?
Yeah. It's like been non-stop. I've got so many things planning for next year. So I'm doing the O2 with a Brit funk outfit on the 5th of February, actually. It's going to be like the whole Brit funkers from the 80s, like Light of the World and Junior Jiskum and Central Line and Incognito and Imagination featuring Lee John. So
how many are you expecting down for that? Is it in Indigo?
It's in the Indigo, yeah. It'll be down there on the 5th of February. And then we're looking at kicking off a tour, I think in April. We're just finalizing quite a few bits and pieces. And I'm doing quite a few bits of TV, bits and pieces. Like, I can't really say, actually. I was told not to say anything. Oh. But I'm doing something cool, but not too I won't be eating snails or anything like that.
Okay, so...
Spiders.
Okay, I think I might be able to work out which one that could possibly be then. But, I assume the costumes will be good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the for the show or for my live show?
For the show and probably the live show as well, knowing you.
Oh, yeah. I'm planning things now. I mean, you know, with modern technology, you can do so many different things. And a lot of the 80s fashion is in the stores. I mean, before Alexander McQueen passed away, I noticed in his shops there were shirts and trousers and things that we used to wear in the 80s. And I'm finding so many of the outfits. I mean, in Paris, for example, I was just there, and there's a designer called Jeremy Scott who works with Adidas, and he does some very interesting imagination type outfits, which I have actually bought. I did the Rewind Festival in August, and I don't know if you saw that. If you go to my website, you see what I'm talking about, legion.com. You see the my entrance outfit, so to speak, which kind of takes you back. It doesn't make me look too old, and it doesn't make me look too young.
Oh, we're not talking mutton dressed as lamb. That's the important thing.
No. We're just talking about impact in your face and loving it. But I'm not showing my legs. That's amazing.
Well, Zoe, as we said earlier on the podcast, you missed this, but Zoe has problems with her legs, so, you know.
I'll keep mine covered up as well.
Oh, no, let the sun shine in, baby.
If you could lend her a few outfits, we'd appreciate it, to be honest.
Oh, my God. Well, it was 46 degrees in Zambia, so, you know, my band and I, we were, like, really, really hot. I mean, no, you know, God, everyone was half naked anyway there.
So you didn't need much then.
Oh, no. It was an amazing experience because we went to Livingston. And in Livingston, we were lucky to be in this fantastic hotel, which was like a safari park in essence. And there were zebras and elephants right around us, monkeys stealing your breakfast. It was amazing, just getting back to nature and stuff. You know, we went to the villages where all the kids live, and SOS, they help people in all the different areas of Zambia, and we saw the work that they do. And how they try and, because we're trying to raise money for a school bus to get the kids to school, and you know, also give them a little bit of positiveness, you know, because they need it. And it was great, you know. Everybody calls you Uncle, Uncle Lee, Uncle Lee, Uncle Lee. It was real great, you know.
You must have an absolutely fabulous time at that. And when you're gigging as well these days, I suppose you get to choose which venues you want to do, and you must have favourites.
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, you know, the thing about it is there's not a lot of theatres nowadays. As they were before years ago, you know, like, for example, I've been doing, I don't know if you do know, but I've been doing jazz shows as well as imagination shows. So sometimes I have a quartet or a quintet. Sometimes I've got my 8-piece, 9-piece band, dancers. So it's like going from one musical genre to the next. And so I find I'm in all sorts of circuits. I mean, like, I was in Saint Quentin, I think it's called, on Friday. And I had a 6-piece band because we're doing half jazz, half imagination, so it was quite interesting. So, you know, I love, to be honest with you, I really mean this, it's always about the audience. The audience of what made me 30 years ago, and it's the audience that make me now. It's about the, not about the agents or the management or all that, it's the audiences, because they're the ones that keep you alive. And, you know, I think when you're a performer, it's a wonderful escape for the audience to come and see you and enjoy the music that they've loved for many years. And to, you know, it's funny, people say, oh, do you get tired of singing Illusion and Flashback and Music and Lights? And I say, you know, obviously, you know, you think, oh my God, I'm doing this again. But I kind of try and think every audience is a new audience, and never take it for granted, because, you know, one night you go out there and it may not come out the way you want it to. So I think it's a blessing when you can still go out. And you know, I'm lucky because I was a writer of all our songs. So, you know, I've got a pretty good pension, I hope.
Make sure your name's on the sleeve. That's the important part, isn't it?
Exactly.
Well, remind us of the web address so people can track down where you're going to be, because you're going to be pretty much here, there and everywhere. You're bound to be close to some of our listeners at some point in the near future.
Definitely. Well, if you go to my website, www.leejohnwith3es.com, and check the dates, and also go to my news site, and also Lee's World, because it tells you everything what's going on. Next year we'll definitely be at the O2 Indigo. I think that's on the website already. And but I'm in and out of the country, in and out of love, the country all the time. So you know, there's sometimes people that are away, like I was in Marbella in Spain, and there was a huge, huge UK following there. I couldn't believe there was more English people in Marbella than there were Spanish. It was crazy.
And what sort of music are you listening to at the moment? Because I think that's always interesting to find out what the stars have got on their iPods.
Oh, my God. I listen to a lot of old stuff. I mean, there are a few people today that I kind of like. But to be honest with you, it's not like before where you could read who has played what on what album and stuff like that. You know, it's like, you know, if I'm listening to, like, for example, when I was in Paris, I could not believe CeeLo's track, you know, is number one. And I thought, where are the lyrics? I don't know if you play it down there, but in France, they play. I don't know if you know that the track is very explicit.
Oh, there is the polite version called "Forget You," and the explicit one, which we won't mention.
Exactly, exactly. Which I was, you know, I thought, I can't believe this. I thought, what, you know?
And so in France, are they playing the full naughty
version?
They're
playing the full version because remember,
they don't speak English over there.
They don't actually speak English there the same way as we do. So it means nothing to them, you know. It's just like an adjective, you know. So it's kind of weird. But I mean, there is a lot of young talent out there, but it goes so quickly these days because of obviously reality shows and stuff. And before, I mean, I'm very lucky that I know, for example, Leona Lewis, because her dad went to school with me, and we're great mates. So I've seen her grow up in the industry before she went on the X Factor. So it's great seeing her, how she developed and became, you know, what she is. And she still has a very long way to go. You know, I went to see her live show, and it was extraordinary. It was very, very good. She held her own. I was very surprised. While there's a lot of musicians that, you know, I don't know how long they will last because they're going through some sort of factory where it's PR, promotion, TV, and next minute they're playing the O2. And have they done anything else? Well, years ago, you know, we played the pubs, we played the bingo halls, we play, you know, and you kind of get your training. I think more acts from out of London get that kind of trick because they've got the working man clubs and the Butlins and the Pontins, which are great audiences. And you can't, they kind of like, you know, if you're a red coat or whatever, at least you can, you know, break your teeth. But a lot of artists nowadays, they're not interested in, you know, it's just a quick fix. So, what do you think?
I think there's a lot of disposable pop out there, and it is a case of, yeah, we've manufactured, we've made our money out of you, you're done now, goodbye, thank you very much. I can't. Someone like Take That, I probably wouldn't have guessed they'd have still been going now. But there are a lot of bands around. I can't see Busted coming back for their 30th anniversary tour.
Oh, really? I mean, the thing about, you know, for Imagination, which has been really great, is that, you know, for example, we get a lot of people covering the tracks now. I know I've someone sent me an email because a young Greek lady in Greece has just covered Just an Illusion. Mariah Carey did Just an Illusion. The rap group The Far Side did Just an Illusion. Some other groups did Burning Up. Some people did Music and Lights. And we find consistently different people either using our music or sampling it. And I think that the 80s was a period where it was the last period for groups, definitely, that you remembered, you know, that you actually, inspired, you bought more than one album of, you know, and in your collection. And so there are people, you know, that I think will come out of this decade true artists, because I think a lot more people, from whom I've been speaking to, more people are interested in live music. They want to see, you know, people playing drums and guitar, and, you know, they want that live thing again. And doing the Rewind Festival, I felt it was interesting because I saw that, well, I was doing it with Heaven 17, I was doing it with Boy George was there, there was Jimmy Somerville, there was Level 42, there was so many artists, and everybody played live, and it was about 40,000 people, and it was a fantastic, and the backstage was just as good as out front, you know, it was such a great time.
It's a really good party. Well, the party continues. You're on tour, as you've mentioned, over the coming months and into next year. We look forward to seeing you on the telly in something in the very, very near future. And I'm just going through mentally what slots left. But the outfit on that one will suit you down to the ground, I'm sure.
Why is it always about the outfit?
Because we get the music, and you're known by your image as well, Lee John. That's what it is. But as ever, lovely to talk to you. Thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure
Thank
to speak
you.
To you
God
as
bless.
Ever.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye. Right, final track from the band. We'll play that, then we'll talk to them and get all the details of their forthcoming gigs. This is the final one from Eyes of the Raven, My Life. That was a proper metal low at the end as well, wasn't it, Dave? I'm impressed there.
Actually, that was Rossi's oh at the end.
Was it? Okay. Every metal band has to have one of those, really, don't they, at some point in one of the songs?
Definitely.
We're talking to Lee John about sweary lyrics. So although you got a parental explicit warning on the front of your CD cover, you don't say any naughty words when you're singing.
That's just for the photo of us inside.
Oh, I haven't looked at the photos.
They're fully
later.
Clothed, Zoe.
Oh, okay.
You told me taking my clothes off.
which she has, offered to touch up members of bands who've been in the past. And in fact, during the summer months, it was a stipulation they all wore shorts to come in.
I bet she was well disappointed when we walked in.
Yeah, she's had her own Ross.
You used to scare them, though, didn't you, Jason? Some
by,
of those
by warning
poor
them,
kids.
Yeah, by yes. warning them that Zoe is she could eat them alive, basically. Any one of the band do you do fancy?
Oh, actually, I think I recognise.
It is Ross that you want. The
no,
chap
I think
in the
I
middle.
I think I recognise him from somewhere. I don't know.
Oh,
why.
I've got one of them faces. Yeah.
Not from Wolverhampton at all.
No, I'm from Pensnet. I don't really want to say that. I'm on a radio station, but no, it's from Pensnet, Dudley. Mm.
No, see, I never had any boyfriends in Dudley. Mine was all Walsall, Birmingham way.
She got married at the age of about 12 as well, so.
Are you from Pensnet as well, are you?
No, I'm from Wolverhampton. I did used to travel quite a lot when I was younger.
That's fine. Okay. I'm scared now.
This is really bad because Pensnet women think that I'm going to hate them, don't they, really? Because I keep slagging them off.
But you love them all.
Well, if only they knew.
No, not really.
Anyway, tell us about what's coming up with the band for the rest of the year, because you've still got gigs on the way.
Yeah, I think the next gig that we've got lined up is the 25th of November. Mm-hmm. That's at the Asylum in Birmingham. Second on the bill for Holy Rage. There's members in the band that have been in various other bands over the years.
The lead singer of Holy Rage is Al Atkins, is the original Judas Priest singer.
Sure, it wasn't Leona Lewis.
No, I think we'd have pretty much figured that one.
No, we don't know Leona Lewis. No. Yeah, it was Al Atkins. He was the original singer from Judas Priest before Rob Halford joined. Is there another gig this year after, or is that the end of the tour?
Well, we're going to do a birthday gig with one of our friends' bands. More than likely, it's going to either be the Asylum again or Soundbar out of Birmingham. That's going to be December the 11th, I think, but that's still being finalised. We're trying to pretty much concentrate more on writing until we get to the Christmas period. Then we're going to go in and record, well, hopefully everything we've got.
A studio's cheaper over Christmas then, is that?
No, it's the only time people got holiday left.
No, so it's not that you're hoping Santa's going to bring you some studio time.
No, I wish it was. Christ, I've been hoping for Christina Scabbier in stockings for years.
So, website then, if they want to track down where you're going to be.
It's www.eyesoftheraven.freeiz.com.
Do you want to spell that out?
Yeah, go on then, yeah.
Just Google Eyes of the Raven. We're at the top.
He does actually go to the top of the list. He has done his homework where the bots are concerned.
Well, I have done.
Okay, Eyes of the Raven, simple as that. Chuck it in Google, and you can hear more of the band, even buy things and everything.
Yeah, well, there is a link to iTunes on the website as well.
Brilliant.
Mm, very good.
Well, lads, thank you for coming down. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for having us.
I enjoyed listening to the music. And, I mean, Zoe, you even coped with it for metal. You're not normally into your metal, are you?
I don't mind. I used to go to Monsters of Rock many years ago.
Oh, my
did
life.
You?
Yes, I did.
1996.
You would think she had it in there.
Probably where she recommended.
Yeah, from 95, 96.
Yes, perhaps it was.
Because I was quite young, you see, when it was 95, 96. I just left school, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm a bit older.
I could only manage to go to those two.
Because they stopped it for quite a while, didn't they? And then they sort of brought it back again.
All
they did.
Gone from Monsters of Rock to
You took me to Doddington, didn't you? 95 and 96. Actually, Dave took me to my first gig ever. I used to see Anthrax. At the Civic.
Oh, Christ, that was many.
Do you know, I think I was at the Donington one.
Well, there you go.
Oh, I bet that's where
you queued for a pint together, so that's...
and the toilets.
Yeah, no, I think you went to a different toilet to you, so unless there's something you're not telling us.
I think there was people going to the toilets everywhere.
Okay.
As you do.
Enough of that. We'll be back next week for more In the Mill Bar, and we shall... I'm just stunned there. Well, there we go. We'll be back next week.
I know what vision 74. You're imagining, Jason.
I'm just in shock. So we'll be back next week on episode 74. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.